Once again, welcome to our studies of the book of Malachi. We're going to look at a few verses in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. If you turn with me to the book of Malachi, chapter 3 tonight, as we continue this wonderful study of the gospel according to Malachi. Like so many other books in the Old Testament, we find the ravages of the fall. We find how the fall has affected every atom of the universe, every thought and intent of the heart, how that it has caused such problems among the human race and all around us, the disease that took place in that day and time as it is today, the aging process, the pain, all of that, death. We just notice that, and here in the book of Malachi, we find even the effects of the fall upon those who were selected or chosen or volunteered or however it happened to be the religious leaders of the people. Even among Judaism, among those who were supposed to be following God, we find that the ravages of the fall took their effect upon them, and those who were not born again, those who did not know anything about the gospel, and even though put into a position of authority or put into a position to lead other people, they demonstrate to us, as we have found in this book, having no thought towards God. They raise their fist and say, we'll not have this king rule over us. They're going to go their own way. They make promises that cannot be kept. They blame God or give God a bad eye for in front of all the people. And so it is today. And yet we find every once in a while throughout all these books, from the very beginning to here and through the rest of the Bible, even though the fall is mentioned with such dramatic terms and illustrations, we have the Lord God of heaven share with us some blessed passages of Scripture that He will save His people from their sins. And we come to that verse of Scripture, or one like it, here in the book of Malachi. And in the book of Malachi chapter 3, it tells us in verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon His name. So there was going to be some out of the host that were going to do these things to give credence, to give an illustration of the work of God in their heart. And then we come down to verse 17 and we find the reason for all of this. It isn't just because they were good people. It wasn't because they were different than everyone else. It was because God got involved in their lives. And He intended to do this from before the foundation of the world. He intended to do it in eternity, in the covenant of grace. He intended to get involved in people's lives and that it would be He that would make the difference and give them a new heart that would love God and that would follow Him. Here in verse 17, and they shall be mine. And this is truly a statement that we find that gives us great hope and great joy, and we're caused to rejoice that the Lord said, they shall be mine. I have a people, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So we have several things mentioned in that verse of Scripture. They're mine. In the day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his son. There's a great deal of love demonstrated in this passage of Scripture. That thought there about my jewels, that's an Old Testament word, segula, and I've noticed among some of the commentaries that they use that term as a term of possession or property, valued property, peculiar, particular, treasure, a treasure. And I'm reminded of a passage that we read not too long ago in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. So would you turn with me to the book of 1 Kings chapter 8? And in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 52, we have a wonderful verse of Scripture that God shares with us through Solomon. And he's led by the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. And there in verse 52, 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 52, and thine eyes have been open unto my supplication, the supplication of thy servant, and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. We notice in this verse of Scripture that the one who is speaking these words has realized, has been revealed the fact that there is a people that were separate from among all the people of the earth. Now truly Israel was a type of that. There were many among Israel that knew nothing about the gospel. They had no thought of God in their heart. They were just like all the rest of the folks around them. But there were some that truly share with us a picture of the church. And that is, you have for thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance. This Israel illustrates that point. And thou spakest by the hand of Moses, as you did. You brought our fathers out of Egypt, and you brought them out because they were your inheritance, thine inheritance. Christ gathers his segula, his chosen ones, as a man would do by saving the most valuable things in such a time of fire destruction. I was in a friend's home the other day, and I was looking at a settee by a window, and he showed me that the cushions could be taken aside, and a drawer could be lifted out, and in that place he had all of the family pictures. And the first thing they would do if a fire broke out was to break the window out and throw all those pictures out, because that was the first thing they wanted to deliver. Well, if we can think of that here with regard to the segula, the particular treasure, my jewels, Christ gathers his segula, his chosen one, as a man would do by saving their most valuable things in such a time as a fire or destruction. So there's a very special thing about them. Of all the things that the person would have, this is what he chose, and that would be the pictures. Of all the peoples of the earth, God has chosen in Christ Jesus, because of the covenant of grace and because of all that Christ has done for them, he has chosen to save a peculiar people for himself, and he will deliver them out of all the peoples of the earth. They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day I make up my jewels, or I make up my special treasure. What a wonderful blessing we're allowed to receive in this verse. Make up my jewels. Christ has some who are his jewels, or particular treasure, as the word used here means, who are loved with an everlasting love, chosen in him, redeemed by him, justified by his righteousness. They are a particular people, separate from all others, and preferred above all others. Christ has the strongest affection for, and takes such special care of. He has appointed the day for them when all heaven will rejoice in their salvation. He has appointed a day when he will bring the grace of God in the gospel to them, and they are appointed to hear it, and God will create the new birth in them. He promised this all through the Scriptures, but particularly mentioned in the book of Romans chapter 8. Over there in the book of Romans, and we so often are brought to that wonderful passage of Romans, Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 28, that passage of Scripture about the great blessings of the Lord in the covenant of grace. And we know, verse 28 of Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. So as we read through here, we find the blessings of making up his jewels, the blessings of calling out his treasure, the blessings of bringing those people out of Egypt, out of this world, out of sin. And as he mentions through here, this is what he does for them. They are only recipients of these blessings, these rich blessings of grace. They're not the participants in them. Our heart had no interest in them, and God must do the work on his own. Our righteousness is not a righteousness that will cause God to turn to us, because our righteousness is filthy rags. We have no good thoughts or deeds towards God. And it is only by his grace after we're born again that we have those things. For whom he did foreknow, before the foundation of the world, he had a chosen people. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of sin, of his son. I have to say at this point that when my wife and I travel, we like to get on a plane with a predestinated destination. It's hard to get on a plane when they say we don't know where we're going. Well, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So we have these purposes of grace, God working in and through and by the preaching of the gospel. Those he did predestinate, them he also called. They have this promise. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. For whom he did foreknow, in Malachi 3:17, has the two works, my jewels. These two words are translated from a Hebrew word, segula, which is used 8 times throughout the Old Testament. And as we read these, we're so reminded of Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 30, about the work of grace that God promised us here as the gospel goes and is preached. The first time that we run into this word in the Old Testament, this word segula that's mentioned in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, my jewels, is found in the book of Exodus chapter 19. Would you turn there with me to the book of Exodus chapter 19? This, again, we find the wonderful blessings of grace brought out throughout the Old Testament, that as he mentions here, as he shares with us here in the book of Exodus chapter 19, we have this segula, or my jewels, and here it is translated, a peculiar treasure. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be my peculiar people, my peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, those who do are. We don't become his peculiar treasure by doing these things. We are his peculiar treasure because we do these things. He works it out in us. If ye obey my voice, indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. If ye obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you are identifying yourself as my peculiar treasure. Then ye shall be my peculiar treasure unto me, my segula, my jewels that I'm making up. In the book of the Psalms 135 and verse 4, and in the book of Ecclesiastes 2:8, this same word is used, and it's also translated there, just like we have it here, peculiar treasure. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, book of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, if you'll turn there with me, we have this word used again, but it's translated just a little bit differently. Here it tells about a special people, segula, the segula of God, the jewels, my particular treasure. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, for thou art and holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all people that are upon the face of the earth. How come they are special people, and how come they're special people above all the people that are on the face of the earth? The Lord shares with us in that verse of scripture, the Lord thy God hath chosen thee and to be a special people. This word segula is called a special people. They are identified only by God in all the world, but they are recognized as God's people, for by faith That's what we read with in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, that those folks, by faith, they did what they did, and faith truly is trusting the Lord Jesus Christ with all our salvation. None is hinged upon ourselves. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14, we have this word segula translated again in our version, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 14, and there in verse 2, this word is translated just a little bit differently, but all boils down to the same thing. Here we have the segula, a peculiar people. We saw a peculiar treasure, my jewels, special people, and here, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. And the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Now truly, the nation of Israel was put into a very high position before all nations upon the earth. And we find that they were really the test case. If anybody could ever attain righteousness on their own, it should be these people, because God chose them, a particular people out of all people, and he's paid special attention to them above all other people on the face of the earth. And he drew them out of Egypt. He brought them into the promised land. He performed so many miracles for them. He provided so much for them. He brought them into a land. There was very few people as they took over that land, promised land, as they came in and took over. Very few graves were dug for those who fought for Israel. God did the fighting. Did this change them? Were they saved as a result of the special treatment that God gave to them? We find no. It is only by grace that they are ever different. And so as he brings out this, he's sharing with us about Israel, but they are a picture and a type and a shadow of the church. This word is also used. Segula is used in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 18, and in that verse of Scripture is called a peculiar people. In 1 Chronicles, this same word is translated just a little bit differently, but it shares with us, again, a little facet, a different facet, about what this word means. Segula. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and in verse 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of silver and gold, which was given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared. Proper good is what we find in this verse of Scripture that shares with us the segula. I have my own proper good of silver and gold and silver. This word segula, translated in one place, about my jewels, my treasure, my particular treasure, my particular people, and I have my own proper good. The Lord here gives us the insight about this word concerning himself and the relationship with this word to his people. Now, what does this mean? What do all these verses of Scripture mean? What are they bringing us to? What are they setting our eyes on? What are they doing for our heart? They are teaching us throughout the Old as well as the New Testament the wonderful teaching that God was involved with saving his people before the world began. And that is that he chose or elected a people. This word or these passages of Scripture, as we read in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, is teaching us election. God has a chosen people, an elect people, pictured by the choice of Israel, yet in reality made up of Jews and Gentiles. The fountainhead is God and his sovereignty and his good pleasure. It is first and in its highest sense spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the things we need to go back to when we study this subject, and even as we see my jewels. I will make up my jewels. Now, there is one jewel above all jewels, and that's the jewel, the Lord Jesus. Would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah? In the book of Isaiah, we have the Lord Jesus, Jehovah, spoken as the elect of God. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 1, we have this wonderful thought about the Lord and Him being the elect, the first. Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, my elect. This word is used with regard to the Messiah, to the Lord Jesus, to Jehovah, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. This wonderful passage of Scripture is brought into the New Testament in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 12, as we look at the Segula, as we look at the jewels, my jewels, here in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14, we think about the one that is the head jewel, the one that all the jewels come under, the one, the elect one who all the elect fall under. Here in the book of Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the nations. This wonderful passage of Scripture takes us right back to the book of Isaiah 42 and verse 1. It is a quote from that passage, and this quote is sharing us with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is truly, truly the first chosen. All others are chosen in him. The Lord Jesus shares with us what election is. The Scriptures, without exception, declare the truth of this wonderful subject, and that it is based all on free grace, no merit, and results wholly from the sovereign will and purpose of God. The Lord did not set his love upon Israel, nor choose them because they were more in number. Remember that passage of Scripture over the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 7. Would you turn over there with me as we find the Lord through the Moses sharing this with Israel? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto him above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love. Now, in that verse of Scripture, we have that segula. But the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than all the people. Ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep an oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. This wonderful passage of Scripture shares with us about the Lord and what he did for Israel as a type and a shadow and a picture of what he does for the church. In 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. The segula of the Lord, the jewels of the Lord, were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 1:9 is just what we read. Now, while you're there in the book of Deuteronomy, jump ahead just two chapters, Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 4. Speak not thou in thy heart. Oh, my goodness. Here we have the crux of the matter. Don't go bragging what you've done for the Lord. Speak thou not in thy heart, after that the Lord thy God hath cast them out from before thee, saying, For my righteousness the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. Can you imagine those Jews saying that? For my righteousness the Lord has blessed me. And how often we hear that in religion, and have said it probably in our own heart. Lord, you're blessing me because I have been so good. I have been righteous. I've done all the good deeds. I've gone to church every Sunday. Remember the bars you used to get on your pins after years of Sunday school, faithful Sunday school, year after year? And for my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me in to possess this land. It's because of my righteousness that I am where I am. But for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness, or for the uprightness of thy heart, dost thou go to possess their land. We're not given anything spiritual because we're righteous or because of the uprightness of our heart. It's only because God has done a work before the foundation of the world. If he had not chosen a people in eternity past, there would not be one person in glory in the end. If it wasn't for God interfering in our lives, going against our grain, going against our nature, going against our will, if it wasn't for that, nobody would ever be saved. And here we find that the Lord is speaking through his minister in the Old Testament. Don't you dare think, when you get into the promised land, that you did it because you were good. Just look at yourself through the travels, through the 40 years of wilderness. These 10 times have you tempted me. And so the Lord shares with, not for thy righteousness or the uprightness of thy heart, verse 5 here, dost thou go and possess land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What did he have with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He had a covenant of grace. He made a promise to them. And this promise is the promise of grace. By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, and by faith Jacob. What does that say? It means that those three patriarchs all had all their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in their righteousness or uprightness of their heart. So he shares with them these things. The Jews, encouraged by false prophets, misconstrued God's promised preservation of his elect as an unconditional guarantee of their national security. God never promised that. He promised eternal security for his church. He promised eternal security for all his elect. But he never promised national security. If we misunderstand election as taught in the scriptures, we will have the eternal election of God applying to nations, groups of people, lines of ancestors, when in fact eternal election applies only to the individuals whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If we misconstrue election, we're going to apply this to things that was never applied by God. In Romans chapter 2, would you turn with me there? We have the segula, we have the my jewels, we have my special treasure, we have my particular people mentioned throughout the scriptures, and it's not because they were of national descent, but it was because they were chosen in Christ. Here in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 2, New Testament, Paul was used to pen it, but he is led directly by the Holy Spirit. He is speaking by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. He's not talking about national Israel here. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. Now, most of the Jews were depending upon their righteousness and the uprightness of their heart and being related to Abraham for their position before God. But Paul brings out what we find throughout the Old Testament. It's not a Jew which is one outwardly. I did not set my affection on you because you are great, because you are righteous, because you are upright of heart, because in fact you were not. I set my affection on you because of grace, my unmerited favor. And that's what he does for Jews and Gentiles alike. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Now what does that mean to us? He is a Jew which has been born again. That's what a true Jew is, a true worshiper of God, a true child of Abraham, is one who has been born again. And that new birth cannot be made by us any more than those people could say they're inheriting the promised land by their own righteousness and by their own uprightness of heart. God said, no way, that is not it. You're not coming into the promised land because of your uprightness of heart or your own righteousness. In other words, the elect are elect to salvation, not national election. No argument that Israel was special. It might be viewed as a test case. What would happen if a nation was given such special place, miracles, signs, wonders, special protection, food, water, special worship rites? Would this make them spiritual followers of Jehovah? No, it did not. They must have the new birth in order to follow God. In the book of Deuteronomy, once again, the Lord shares with Israel. After all this time, Israel, it shares in Deuteronomy chapter 29, the Lord speaking again through his preacher, has this to say. Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. Yet the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Why did they walk so contrary to God's word, so contrary to his law? Why did they walk so contrary to the instructions of the prophets? Why did they walk so contrary to the instructions of Moses? Why did they walk so contrary to the instructions of the judges? Why did they walk so contrary to all of these things? Because God did not give them a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear unto this day. When God does that, they will love God. My people, my sheep, the Lord says, I love them and they love me. That's part of the everlasting covenant. Only those that are brought to faith in Jehovah were members of the elect remnant. Only those that God worked in. In the book of Joel, would you turn with me to the book of Joel? Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. Only those that are brought to faith in Jehovah were members of his elect remnant. Whosoever, now we hear that a lot in religion, whosoever will. Well, the answer is, what about the will? You know, God must make us willing. In the day of his power, he must make us willing. Here it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So there's a remnant according to the election of grace, and those will call on the name of the Lord, or those will trust the Lord God Almighty. They will have faith. God gives them faith to have faith, and their faith is that they have given everything, every hope, every piece of their salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah wrote in the very first chapter of the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, he shares with us, you know, the oxen, they knew their master, and Israel didn't know. And in verse 9 he says, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Individually, there are a few, but nationally, not. Nationally, none. Israel served the purpose of God. Judah served the purpose of God. The Messiah was brought into the world as promised. In Hebrews chapter 8, there's mention up here of an everlasting covenant mentioned in the Old Testament. The first covenant was faultless. For if the first covenant had been faultless, the first covenant had fault. And what was the fault? People couldn't keep it. Promised they would, but they couldn't. Finding fault with them, in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 8, for finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now that's not at some future date, because this is the eternal covenant. And it says in verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out by the hand and led them out into the land of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Because they continued not in my covenant, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. The covenant was void when they broke it. The everlasting covenant had always been in effect, because it was a covenant between God, the Godhead, and for the benefit of the elect individuals, the segula, the chosen particular people that are mentioned throughout the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, for the benefit of the elect individuals, this covenant was for those that he will make up his jewels. I will call them out. They are mine. They're like jewelry that I would pick up if the house was burning down. They are my very special. These are the ones I will keep. All the rest will fall away, but these I will keep to myself. Two Old Testament passages sum up all. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. And there is a verse in the book of Habakkuk that is quoted several times in the New Testament. Would you join me over there in that little book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. The preachers of the New Testament had this passage of Scripture given to them, and they read it often, and they quoted it many times. And this, with salvation as of the Lord, is the summation of the gospel as it's preached in the Old Testament. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Whose faith? God's faith. The just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by faith is brought out in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul as he wrote to people that were trusting in their own righteousness. The just shall live by faith. Those who are justified have the faith of God given unto them to walk by sight, to walk by faith and not by sight. Peter wrote in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, these words are left for us. This passage of Scripture is almost mentioned in the book, in the Old Testament, but it is applied to the church in this passage of Scripture. In the Old Testament, it was looking at Israel, but they couldn't keep it. They did not have a heart given to them by the Lord. These words are written about those in Israel that did have a heart, that God had given them a heart to have faith. By faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, those who had faith. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a segula, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are my jewels, my royal jewels, my particular treasure. The church was chosen in eternity to be the Lord's particular treasure. Make up of the elect ones, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, as we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. In Romans chapter 11, We have again the Apostle Paul writing by inspiration. He didn't write this on his own. There apparently were some books, some letters that Paul wrote, but they were not inspired letters because they're not in our Bible. If they had been, they'd have been there. He writes about those letters. Romans chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. We find in the New Testament the Israel of God, the special particular people that Israel was a type of in the Old Testament. There were those in the Old Testament that the Lord Jesus, when he was nearly stoned, if it had been his time, but it wasn't, they would have taken him out and stoned him. What did he bring up? That God dealt with Gentiles in the Old Testament. There were many widows in Israel, but there was none of them like that widow, and she was a Gentile. And he sent his prophet there. And there were many lepers in Israel, but we find there was only one that was dealt with, and he was a Gentile, Naaman the leper. So the Lord illustrates this point, that he is sovereign over all things. He is a people, and he will make up his jewels. He will bring them out of every kindred, nation, people, and tongue, and he will make up his jewels. They will be assembled around him. They will be the glory of his work. They will be the trophies of his grace. They will illustrate the point of his great work of redemption. There will not be one there with a haughty spirit or bragging on themselves. They will all be saying, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He is the reason for redemption. He is the reason that we are redeemed." So we're going back over there to the book of Malachi, that last book of the Old Testament, in the third chapter and in verse 17, we have, "I will make up my segula. I'll make up my jewels. They are my particular people. They are my particular treasure. They're out there throughout the world. I've sown them in every kindred, nation, people, and tongue. They are in all colors. They are all nationalities. They're in all religions." You know, I was told one time that if you spent, as a kid, you spent 6 or 10 years among this certain religion, that you were going to be that for life. I'm thankful that's not true, or I'd still be in religion. God moves us out of that by his grace. He takes us out of religion. He shows us the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows us what we are by nature, and he shows us what he is by his glory. And they shall be mine, Malachi chapter 3 and verse 17, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day, when I make up my segula, my jewels, my particular people, and I'll spare them. They are deserving of death, but I will spare them. How and why? We only know why is of grace. How? By him becoming our substitute and laying down his life a ransom, a payment price for our sin. Spareth his own son that serveth him. Now as we come to the conclusion of this week's lesson in the book of Malachi, I just want to mention what we plan to look at next week, and that's verse 18 of this chapter. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." He's been bringing that out in this chapter, in the previous two chapters. This is what my people are like. This is what religion is like. This is what I've done for my people. These I've left alone. They identify themselves as my people by having faith. These identify themselves as not being my people for not serving God, not caring, even though they're giving the responsibility of attempting to serve God. They cannot do it. They're elected to that position. So many preachers have only a local call. Their mama called them. The preacher called them. Their daddy called them. Somebody called them. But these preachers in the Old Testament, these pastors in the Old Testament, these preachers and pastors in the New Testament, they were called of God. God gave them the new birth, and then he called them to preach the wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gospel is the Lord has some jewels, and he will find every one of them and save them by his grace. And then we'll look to discern the righteous and the wicked, and them that serve God and those who serve him not. May God bless you wherever you are.